X6, the tonality of the seven synonyms for God. Number 1A.
I still want to remind you that you are allowed to interrupt me at any time and ask questions. So, and don't be afraid of the tape recorder. It will not go to the President of the United States. It will be among the students that have attended the class here or over at Westmont College. So feel free to have a very lively discussion. We were starting yesterday with the concept of concept building of the synonymous terms, that in order to get acquainted with being, we have to study the letter first thoroughly and then imbibe the spirit. To study the letter thoroughly means that we have a true concept of the synonymous terms and their ideas. And so we were showing yesterday how we can analyze textually from the Christian Science textbook the values, the ideas characterizing each synonymous term, and thereby making a list of terms, of concepts, and to acquaint ourselves with those concepts, also to see what these concepts mean by looking up the definitions of these terms. But we must be aware that even a big list, even a correct list, is of no value until we grasp really the tonality of that list. And so today I want to start and show how one can build up the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. I don't know if you know what I mean by tonality. It means that if we have a synonymous term like mind and have 100, 150 terms that characterize this term mind, that if we take all these terms together, these 100, 150 terms together as one big impression, as one big concept, then we usually call that the tone of mind. That's something that John Dolly has coined at his time because he just didn't know how to do it otherwise, but to show that actually it is not our brain thinking about 100 and 150 terms, but that one has in consciousness just a tone, a round tone, which conveys all those 100 and 150 terms. So that actually mind is no more M-I-N-D, and mind is no more 150 terms, but it is mind. And when you hear mind or read mind, somehow you have the whole tone, spiritual tone, of all that this term implies spiritually. And that we call the tonality, the tone of mind. When you read John Dolly's verbatim reports on the Bible, those many thousand pages he has written on the Old Testament and New Testament, showing how each book of the Bible has layout and is built up logically, then he would always say, well, here you see first the tone of mind and then the tone of spirit, meaning that mind as a tone can be illustrated in many ways in the Bible, in the textbook, but it has always the main category of mind. So this is what we mean with the tone of mind, and therefore building up those tones of the seven synonymous term is tonality building. Now how do we build up the tonality? If we have first of all, a correct list of ideas. Then we must somehow have methods in order to make those concepts our spiritual sense, so that it becomes a spiritual tone, independent then of terms. We can do that, for instance, and I just give a few rules how we can do it. For instance, we can do it and by taking that list and having that list in front of us and sitting down quietly and happily in a big armchair, comfortably, so that the body doesn't disturb us, and just begin to ponder these terms, what they mean. Just with go over that list from top to bottom and say, what do these concepts mean if, actually always, if they illustrate or characterize the one being. Therefore, you can see that when you do this pondering, I like to use that term pondering, it is no more studying, so to say. It's more than studying, it's contemplating, it's pondering, it's, perhaps you could say, meditating on it, though I don't like the term very much. You can also say praying. Everything prays within you if you contemplate and those terms and feel that is the nature of the one God, of being. And you can see that if you do that, that you begin to take in these terms within your consciousness, so that these terms that were concepts begin to sink in into our very being, and then they are no more concepts, but then they become the nature of being, our nature. They become warm, they become our reality, our very being, and so in this way we make them very subjective to us. They are then no more a list of terms on a piece of paper, but because we take them in and worship them, adore them, cherish them, ponder them, they become our being. So you could take that list and be very quiet within yourself and put out all the other arguments that may come in from the daily life and try to put them out and see that now you are engaged in contemplating the nature of God. And so you put yourself, so to say, at the place of the synonymous term itself. You start, say, with mind, and you feel, all right, if I'm mind, if I'm the very consciousness of mind, what does mind know about itself? And you go through the list, because that what is on the list is actually what mind, the synonymous term itself, knows about itself, is aware of itself. And so you go through these terms one by one, each one contemplating what it means, what it means. We will do that afterwards together with mind. We take then an example very slowly. I'll just first tell you the method, how one can do it, and go through these individual concepts, asking oneself, what does it mean if mind is this, and mind is that, and mind does this, and mind does that. And so you go through, and as you go through, you begin to feel that the tone of that synonymous term wells up within one's consciousness. So that's one way of doing it, and at the beginning, where one is perhaps not very intimately acquainted with the list itself, it is a help to have that list in front of you and go through it until then one time you feel, I can do it without the list. When you do it, when you begin to do it without the list, then you will see how much of the tonality you have already got, how much has already been made your own. In other words, you begin then to feel where there is something lacking within your list. See, if you go through a synonymous term, perhaps like soul, and you suddenly feel after five terms you run out of the list, you don't know anyone more, then that shows you something very nicely. Namely, it shows, I haven't quite crossed the tonality yet. And that then you go back and take out your list and say, oh yes, I forgot all about this and that aspect of the synonymous term. And in this way, over weeks and over months, so to say, you can easily acquaint yourself with the tonality of it. You see, we said there is nothing more important than to acquaint ourselves with the synonymous terms, because that's the only being there is, therefore the only reality there is, and therefore to concentrate on anything else is actually losing one's time. Therefore, it is a good thing to use one's time whenever one can use. Try to use up all those few minutes during the day you have where you are not engaged in something very in a concentrated way. You go down to the store, you have to stand along in a queue. There are many, many opportunities during the day of only 2 minutes, 3 minutes, where your thought just can turn at that very point back to reality, and your thought turns and says, what is mind? What is spirit? What is soul? What is principle? And just well up within your consciousness quickly the tone of that. And that helps an enormous lot. You know, very often people come and say, well, I have hardly time for study. I'm so busy from morning to night that I can have hardly time to study. Well, sure, some people are more busy than others, but everyone has always a few moments in between from morning to night where he can just renew within one's consciousness the tone of the seven synonymous terms. And that is important. I don't feel that it is better, say, to just do a terrific study on a Saturday afternoon because you are free for hours and hours and hours and then nothing anymore during the week. I feel 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes there, but very often each day does the job much better because it renews more and more the tonality until finally you feel I don't really fall out of the tonality anymore. So that when I'm on the kitchen sink or when I'm in a queue or when I'm doing this or that, when I'm talking to people, I always go out from the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. It becomes our new system of reference, our new standpoint, our new attitude towards everything. We shouldn't forget that from morning to night we think. We are conscious. If we don't take a nap just at that moment, we... yes, that was the right expression, take a nap, huh? Yeah, you know, in earlier times I said to make a nap. So we take a nap, yeah. And we are conscious. Now the question is always, from which standpoint do we think? Are we conscious from morning to night, whatever we do, from a human system of reference or a divine system of reference? It takes just as much energy and just as much time to think out from the one as from the other. Except that if we think out from the divine system of reference, we know that we are looking out as being would look at the situation, and that is the help we have, and that is really reality. So it's not true that anybody has not time for science. It's only that we must have a sense of having time for science. Having time for science means trying to go out always from the seven synonymous terms, no matter what we do. Because we do anyway what we do, but why should we do it with a wrong standpoint if we can do it with a right standpoint? So there is no excuse that we don't have time. All what we need, naturally, is that little time where we culture our tonality, where we say, do I actually know now what mind is, what spirit is, what soul is? And that needs to go right back, say, to your list first, until that becomes your own natural being, and afterwards you don't even need the list anymore. But at the beginning, this may be the right rule. You can use various helps to get into the tonality. I remember way back when we were studying the synonyms and got our first list, that I just would say, if I'm on a walk or so, I just would go through mine and say, now, let me see if I can build up at least, say, 40 or 50 ideas of mind. Just as I was walking down the street or somewhere, I was just going and count, well, what is mind? Well, mind is this and this and this and this and this. And this training exercise one has to do at the beginning. Or else one doesn't quite get into the rhythm. So afterwards you may do it without the list. Then there are other means to culture the tonality. One of the means is really, for instance, to study, read John Dolly's verbatim reports on the Bible, for instance. I quite agree, he has written many thousand pages. It's a terrific work to go through it, and go through it logically and intelligently and spiritually. But here and there, I think you may do well, just for the sake of getting used to the tonality, to go through the Bible. Why? And here we come to another subject in tonality building, namely, the Bible will tell us about the tones of the seven synonymous terms, but the Bible will not use the terms which we have on our list, or very few, because the Bible language is a different language. It's a pictorial language. What we use today is a language of abstract ideas, mostly abstract ideas. We should eliminate more and more from our list the natural symbols that illustrate the seven synonymous terms, like light for mind. We should more and more eliminate them and have only abstract symbols, because they are more correct, they are more exact. The Bible was written in a time when they did not know abstract terms, so they had to use natural symbols to illustrate their tonality. And natural symbols are never as exact as abstract symbols. That's why mathematics works with completely abstract symbols. When they count, they don't count sheep and cows. They have just symbols. A 3 and a 5, and that is 8, so they don't have to say, get me in 3 cows and 5 cows on the other side, now here is a stable, how many cows do you have, you see? But as the Bible had to convey the tonality of the synonymous terms, and had to use other symbols from nature, we can train ourselves with the Bible to see if we have got the tonality and not the concepts alone, the terms alone, because then we see that those seven synonymous terms can be expressed in many, many, many other ways and symbols than just the ones we have on our list. And that is really then the big point. Then if we can do that, if we can hear the tones without the abstract symbols which we have on our list and can hear those tones just the same, that gives us a proof that we have touched the spiritual meaning and the spiritual sense of those seven synonymous terms. And then actually, we can also listen to what's going on in the world today and can hear when we hear what's going on in the world. And if we are reading books of today, of the various sciences, we can somehow hear what they are talking about in terms of the seven synonymous terms. Can you see that? See, nothing happens, as we said, outside of God, of being. Nothing happens outside of being. Therefore, everything that happens is within being. And therefore, everything that happens should be able to reduce to the tonality of the capitalized terms. I was speaking about the seven synonymous terms, but naturally I should also include then the four orders, or the four sides of the city, and the four levels. They are also, they also have their tonality. So that with that tonality we should be able, so to say, to place everything that happens in this world into the right place value within the whole system of being. Yes. So the Bible is a terrific help, I would say, for culturing tonality. I think if I look back and think, well, why could I see at a certain moment in my development the layout of the textbook? And once I began to see it, I could see within, I think it was about 2 or 3 months, I could find the whole layout of the textbook once I was ready. You know how much difficulty you have, in spite that you have my structure book, to find the breaks in the textbook and to see the structure. But you know, I always feel, because I have devoted many, many years to culturing the tonality through the Bible, first naturally, as I've showed you, through the textbook, by studying the synonymous term with John Dorley, and afterwards during the World War II. Sorry, yesterday I must have made twice a mistake and was speaking about World War One. I meant two. So I'm not as old as that yet. So you see, for say from 38 on, we were studying the seven synonymous terms in the textbook, just as references, until right about 46-47 on, we were shifting, so to say, our interest to the Bible, and for another 4 years, up to 49, nearly 50, we were studying the Bible with the same intention to see the tonality of the Bible. And only afterwards the interest shifted again back to the textbook to see the structure of the textbook, which was a further development. And asking myself, why could I see the structure of the textbook in such a short time? My answer is somehow, and I think it is right, because I devoted so many years, really, to study the Old Testament tone-wise. I didn't study the Old Testament, New Testament very much story-wise. If somebody comes up and says, do you know how, what was the name of so-and-so, and where did this and this happen? I hardly know it. I have not a good grasp anymore of all the names and the little incidents, but I cultured my consciousness in tones. I was interested in reading a book of the Bible as a story of the seven synonymous terms, and not as a historical story, as a story of a law that happens right here and now, but that was illustrated through the symbolism of that time, but actually is representing an eternal, unchanging law that is right now at work, that is working on me right now, and I only have to see the structure of a book of the Bible, therefore getting the law of that book of the Bible, and that law is a present law. So I trained myself very much in the tonality. And how did I do it? And there again I could see over the years that I very seldom met somebody else who did that study at that time. There were many students of Mr. Dooley at that time who would read those verbatim reports every week. And I think the difference was that I never read them. I always queried them. I always said to myself, why did John Dooley epitomize this chapter or from this verse to that verse with mind? Why did he epitomize it in that tone of mind which he has given? How did he arrive at his conclusion? Whereas most were so impressed by the caliber of John Dooley that they felt that what he's saying, that I'm going to read and that I'm going to accept, and that's right. And so they never really mobilized in their consciousness the most important thing that we have, namely the inquiring thought. And to mobilize the inquiring thought, to ask, why did you arrive at this? Why didn't you put it otherwise? How could I state it with other words? And there I had a very great advantage, namely that I had to present those Bible stories at home in German. So I couldn't just take the epitomes from John Dooley and read it out to my class. And also I had to reduce those stories to perhaps a fifth or a fourth of its length, because I couldn't afford to print 10 volumes on the Old Testament as John Dooley did. Therefore I had to reduce it. You see, again, a terrific sense that could be mobilized within oneself, namely the scientific sense of reducing to something that is big to its essential. So I was forced to think about those stories very deeply and get the tone of it, and that's a very good exercise.